This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Chris, correct me if I'm wrong. Don't you share a birth date, not a year, obviously, because he's a lot older, with Paul Simon?
Oh, I have no idea. Actually, I really have no idea.
What's your birthday?
It falls on October 13th.
So lucky. Okay, let us look. Let's do this live, folks, okay?
Okay.
Paul Simon. All right. And where is he? He's October 13th.
Look at that. Can't tell the two of us apart, usually.
Well, I think the height difference. How tall are you?
Oh, yeah, that is true. Yeah, I'm six feet and some. So, yeah, that's true.
Right.
But if you put him on a box.
Well, I always thought that Art Garfunkel was very tall. He's like 5'10". Because Paul Simon is 5'3". He's 77 years old.
Holy hell.
And he doesn't look a day over 300.
And he's still going.
Hey, and you know, you were talking about your magazine online. I have to give a shout out to Isaac Coy. He's a researcher in England. His project has been to put UFO journals, magazines, and UFO zines online for everybody to read. And AFU in Sweden, Norway, anyway, wherever they are, they've been scanning and making PDFs of all these issues. And it's not just the MUFON journal, but it's, you know, obscure things like the Lumière d'Anjou from France and small newsletters from UFO organizations that are long gone in Massachusetts, and Australian newsletters about UFOs and things like that. And I hear some, you know, the numbers are staggering, but it's something like, you know, 80,000, 90,000 issues of various UFO newsletters and magazines that are now available online for people to look at and peruse. It's just wonderful to preserve that type of knowledge and discussion is absolutely essential to UFO research. And it's something I applaud greatly because, again, you know, a lot of people come into the field or maybe all they've seen are some things on TV. They've seen X-Files or whatnot. When the version of Blue Book appears on TV starting in January, a new generation will say, hey, I want to look into more UFO cases. And as I understand it, the TV show is going to include a new case every show. So, you know, we'll be getting some new cases as well as some, you know, older archived cases. And I think people are going to be fascinated and they're going to want to know more. And, you know, without knowing a lot of the history, people are going to be floundering. You know, they're going to say, gee, I wonder if anybody's died, you know, seeing a UFO or encountering a UFO, or has anybody been burned, or have there ever been UFOs in China, and have kids ever seen them, and so forth. And, you know, where do you start educating people about the UFO phenomenon? It's quite a challenge because a lot of the books that are available in bookstores are schlock, and they have inaccurate information or stuff that's actually made up, wild speculation. So, you know, where do you go? What do you do to inform people about the UFO phenomenon? Certainly one good place is the Paracast, but there's certainly other places that would be very useful to tell people to look and seek information.
Yeah, I remember when I was building my library, sifting through all the used books at the secondhand bookshop, and so I've got a whole bunch of classic UFO books from guys like Edwards from way back in the day, and those were pretty good, I think, actually. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, everybody goes onto the computer, and it is just filled with misinformation and hoaxes, and you can't tell what it's worth listening to or worth watching or worth investigating. It's almost a waste of time. I start sifting through it myself, and after about 20 minutes, I just go, why am I bothering?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Ruppelt. I mean, how many UFO investigators today or UFO hunters have ever even read Ruppelt?
Yeah, that should be required reading.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, you bring up something here which is interesting, because it comes to the fact that people enter UFO research and they get interested and they don't understand the history and they repeat the same mistakes. And this I see, for example, when we had the story of the Pentagon study last year.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, oh, last year treating UFOs seriously and look at this and look at that. And I said, go online.
Yeah.
Spend time online. Look at the Blue Book records from the late 40s and 50s. Look at all the sightings on there. Obviously, Isaac Coy has arranged to scan lots of publications. There's a wealth of information. And if some of these people would go look at that, maybe they'd have a more realistic perspective. And I think that's a big problem right now, the fact that it's the repeating of history, making the same mistakes, and it's like we never go anywhere.
Yeah. Right. Gene, we had Red Pill Junkie on just recently, and he made the point about how badly Tom DeLonge's interview went, because he was making the same bad mistakes, and we were saying, well, look, you know, I think a group like that would do well to have a seasoned ufologist on their team to alert them to these pitfalls and these traps that people get into, and yet they don't really have anyone with that kind of extensive knowledge and history that they should, right?
Absolutely, and you know, I also didn't see something from Tom DeLonge. I think he posted a photo of a Billy Meyer flying saucer or something like that. And it just does so much to undermine the potential good work that his organization could be doing.
So how do we go about it then as civilians? Do you think that there's enough of us out here who can all work together to, in a unified manner to try to make this something better for the average citizen who's curious? Or go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are a few attempts like that. I mean, the Scientific Coalition for Ufology is an attempt to do that. A number of other groups are trying to do this. I mean, I mentioned COI, but there's other organizations that are trying to collect the information and do some scientific stuff in a decent kind of manner. You know, there are ways of doing it, getting some of the, you know, the better minds involved. You know, I really... One of the things about abductees and contactees that are the big problem for me is that a lot of what I'm hearing today was said so much better in the 1950s. You look at the 1950s versions of contactees and about, you know, how the aliens were trying to raise our consciousness and awareness, and we're supposed to be kind to each other and stop nuclear testing and stop war and, you know, live in peace and harmony. Well, that's from the 1950s. And if I'm hearing it again today, it just means that the people haven't really progressed very much in that regard. And again, it's an example of why we have to stay away from what's been said already and try something new. I mean, back in the 80s, I guess, new ufology emerged. And this was the time of Jenny Randles and Shuttlewood and people like that. It was coming out of England, and it was so radical. And this was the first attempts to talk about UFOs in terms of dimensional portals and, you know, higher thought consciousness and this sort of thing. And, you know, the nuts and bolts stuff had been the primary driver up until that point. And new ufology just freaked everybody out. Well, to us, it's old hat now because it's existed and it's coming through another revival. And, you know, I'm still seeing nuts and bolts ufology pushed in a lot of forums. But at the same time, you don't want to go too far the other way. I mean, I say that, you know, it's good to have an open mind, but not so open that your brains fall out. And there's a lot of gray matter on the sidewalk that you have to step over.
Oh, definitely.
So, absolutely. So I try to encourage people to keep an open mind, but you don't have to believe and accept absolutely everything. And so when I go into a bookstore today and I see some stuff that is really nutty, and I'm thinking, these are the books that are on the Amazon bestseller list, for God's sakes.
But listen, folks, Amazon came out with its financials today, and they were disappointing, so maybe it's because of those four selling UFO books. No, it's not. We've got Chris Rutkowski, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. To secure your spot, text JOIN to 44055. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. To join American Cannabis Summit, text JOIN to 44055. Attendance is free. Text JOIN to 44055.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Broadcasting to over 1,000 radio stations, GCN programming is in all of the largest markets. A GCN advertising career could be the business opportunity you've been waiting for. Companies need hardworking representatives just like you to handle their needs, while you earn residual income which can last for years. Companies are buying and they need you. Email advertise@gcnlive.com or call 877-996-4327. That's 877-996-4327.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So you see what I could do here? I could blame Amazon for the state of UFO books. It's Amazon's fault. Jeff Bezos is so busy working on the Washington Post, no, he keeps his hands off of that. Just making up stories. Go ahead, please.
Absolutely. There's a lot of stories out there. And
that's all part of the the beauty of it in its own way, though, if you're able to separate the two. Mm-hmm. Like we had a real good start about, you know, the cultural aspect of some of this stuff. And if you're able to separate all that out objectively and say, okay, well, yeah, we've got some real fringe ufology out here, but let's just catalog it as fringe ufology, because it makes up some of the most colorful, interesting stuff in and of itself.
Yeah, and it may attract more people to the field as long as the people are able to say, yeah, that's fringe ufology, but this other stuff over here is the stuff I'm really interested in. People often ask me, how do you get into ufology today? How do you do the research? What should I take at university that will allow me to be a ufologist? That's an interesting question. And I usually steer them into astronomy, even though there's no reason why astronomers should have anything to do with UFOs, because UFOs are something that's in a close environment to us. You can talk about aliens, certainly, but the UFO reports themselves, they occur in, just outside our front door, hovering over our houses and so forth. Astronomers don't rightly have anything to do with ufology. I would say maybe meteorologists, because you'd be able to sort out weather phenomena from UFOs. I point people into the direction of psychology to understand, what would we do if we see a UFO? Sociology to appreciate the cultural phenomena. And I've had a lot of fun with kids in science fairs where one of the projects is usually called something along the lines of invent an alien, where you say, okay, your project is imagine there's an alien living on, let's say, Pluto. How does that alien eat? What does it eat? How does it get around? How does it communicate? What does it look like? Does it have 2 legs, 10 legs, no legs? Does it need 100 eyes to see to gather all the light? Does it need one big eye? What would it eat? How would it fly around, or is it just staying in one spot? And through a discussion and an instructive introspection on what an alien would be like, you learn an awful lot about what we're like. For example, why do we have 2 legs instead of 3? Why 2 eyes? And why are those eyes so high above the ground when you really need them close to your feet so you don't trip over something in the dark? You know, that type of thing. Why can't we fly? If you start thinking about this, about, you know, who we are and how we got here, it naturally evolves into, is it possible there are aliens out there somewhere else? And would they look like us? Would they move like us? How did we get here? Therefore, it's possible that somebody is out there too. There's a lot of good science that can be taught by teaching about UFOs. And I've done some workshops with science teachers on this very topic because kids want to know. They see the stuff on TV. They see Marvel and DC superheroes all the time and what life is like on other planets. Is it possible that we could live on other planets? How would we breathe and so forth? So if you start by getting kids hooked on the idea of UFOs and aliens, you can teach some really, really good science. And it's sad that the science curriculum doesn't include a lot more about speculating on aliens and the human condition.
Yeah, I think you make some really, really great points there, because often science can be really boring for young people, but if they're interested in it already because maybe someone they know has seen a UFO or they saw a program that inspired them to think about it, well, yeah, you can use that to segue into a whole variety of really interesting subject matter.
Yeah, in the 70s when I was getting into this, I wanted to read as much about UFOs as possible, and there weren't a lot of UFO magazines back then, but there were enough that I could, get a bunch. And there used to be, and I looked into the historical stuff. I wanted to read some back issues of things. And there was a magazine at one time called Flying Saucers, which used to be Flying Saucers from Other Worlds, which used to be Other Worlds pulp science fiction stories. So I got a hold of some of these, and I noted in the back they had a classified section. And one of the ads in the classifieds in the Other World Science Fiction magazine was an ad for a local science fiction society to where close, like literally just a few streets away from where I was living. And now this magazine was a pulp, so it was published in the 50s. And here I was in the late 70s, and I wondered if this still existed. So I got in touch just by the address, went to the person's house, and sure enough, the club still existed. the Winnipeg Science Fiction Society. And I talked with the librarian, and lo and behold, sure enough, he had back issues of all these pulps with flying saucers. This is how I got into, you know, reading amazing stories about the Darrows and the Taros and Ray Palmer and all the great historical flying saucers. I remember Lemuria that were part of ufology back in the 40s and 50s. I was invited to attend one of the meetings of the Science Fiction Society, and I did. And when I was being introduced, the librarian said, well, this is Chris Rakowski. You know, he's into UFOs and he investigates and all this sort of stuff. And the entire group, there was a dozen or two of them there. They were laughing and saying, oh, we don't want that, somebody like that. He's crazy. You know, I mean, he's interested in flying saucers. And as everyone knows, flying saucers are nothing more than science fiction. And they looked at each other and said, oh, you're right. You know, you can join. No problem. Again, that's how I got involved in, you know, in the cultural aspects of the UFO phenomenon. And some of those people who were involved in science fiction, in the Science Fiction Society, went on to become physicists at major universities around North America. And because they were interested in science, their minds were, you know, blown away by stuff that was happening in physics, but they're reading about it in science fiction magazines and novels. And the idea that aliens really might exist. I mean, although, you know, Arthur Clarke and Isaac Asimov both were proponents of science and science fiction, but they would have nothing to do with UFOs. For them, it was alien to the concept of science fiction. You know, and why is that? I don't know. You'd think that UFOs would be rife for studying by science fiction writers and experts. So I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you this before we get to our next segment. I ran to very much the same thing back in the 1950s and 60s. So I was a teenager in Brooklyn, New York. I guess through the 60s, I put out a small UFO magazine. And I wanted to have a science fiction story in every issue, a couple of pages, a serialized story. And the problem we had is that people would not even consider it. Are you daring to talk about UFOs and science fiction? There was also, I forget his name, but there was a UFO researcher from Morristown, New Jersey, back in the 1950s, who went through the same thing, trying to integrate UFOs and science fiction. Didn't happen. But in the 60s, I met Otto Bender, the guy who created Supergirl and everything, and he wrote about UFOs and he wrote science fiction. And nobody complained. More to come with Chris, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. A deadly mass shooting at a synagogue in Pittsburgh. Wendell Hisrich is emergency management chief with the city.
There were 11 fatalities as a result of the shooting incident. There were no children. There were additionally 6 injuries, to include 4 of the police officers.
Officials say the gunman, Robert Bowers, has a history of anti-Semitic posts on social media. He was arrested and taken to the hospital. David Zubik is a bishop in Pittsburgh.
It's going to touch this entire community simply because violence is going to rock the foundation of our lives, but it also causes everybody to be worried, could I be the next victim?
President Trump is condemning the attack.
The vile, hate-filled poison of anti-Semitism must be condemned and confronted everywhere and anywhere it appears.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Can you imagine, folks, if Chris Rutkowski did a host show of the Paracast with that voice?
Yes, well, maybe. One of the most fun things I've ever done is there's a group in Canada that does live radio shows, and they get some of the old radio scripts of The Shadow and things like that, you know, Radio Men from Mars and wondrous, you know, serials and things like that. And we sit on stage with a complete Foley set and a guy with us, and we just read the shows on before a live audience. And boy, is it a lot of fun! And I did, as a matter of fact, do Ming the Merciless for one entire show like that. So you never know.
That sounds like a whole lot of fun. Yeah, for sure. We get those old radio shows here on QR77 network late at night, often before the Coast to Coast comes on. And it's like going back in time, listening to them. And I'm a night hawk, and so I'll put them on. And it's just like, wow, this must be what it was like back in the 40s and 50s. But yeah. I think both you guys make a really good point about sci-fi and the skepticism, especially you, Chris, when you mentioned Clark. Because he was really skeptical about UFOs, but he was also a really good science fiction writer.
Mm-hmm.
So people who were into sci-fi would want to emulate that same level of science fiction ability while probably taking on that same skepticism towards the reality of UFOs. I had never considered that before when it came to the actual authors themselves. But yeah, good point with Clark.
Yeah, he was actually held the patent for geosynchronous satellites. I mean, he knew his science too. And, and to have somebody who's, you know, so knowledgeable about science to reject UFOs out of hand like that. Well, Neil deGrasse Tyson, another perfect example. I had a chance to talk with him a few years ago. And here's somebody who, like Carl Sagan, very good science advocate, but the concept of UFOs, completely foreign. Like, and setting up straw man arguments why we shouldn't talk about UFOs at all. You know, and it's disappointing, but it comes from the education system, too, in that if you're told that UFOs are nonsense, you're going to believe that UFOs are nonsense. And that's why, as I say, we're living in the Steven Spielberg generation where kids are saying, yeah, but, you know, there might be aliens out there because I see them on TV all the time. And is it possible that they actually look like that? So it's for me, there's a lot of richness that is certainly possible to educate kids in science.
Yeah, you'd think Neil deGrasse Tyson would have evolved a little bit from the days of Sagan, because if he really knew his history about Sagan, Sagan was involved on both sides of the UFO debate. Back in the 50s, at the onset of the modern era, he actually defended the idea that some UFOs could be extraterrestrial visitors. Yeah, and in 1966, he was a member of the O'Brien Committee, and he was also known as, which was also known as the Scientific Advisory Board Ad Hoc Committee to Review Project Blue Book, but he recommended that there should be university-based study groups for it. What Sagan ran into was this bureaucracy back then, one of them being Edward Condon, who actually threatened to sort of excommunicate him from the scientific social circle there if he didn't back off on his views about it. So Sagan kind of went underground and said, well, maybe I can change this from the inside out, and became an astrobiologist and a really, really good one. I mean, he completely debunked the idea that Venus was an inhabited world, for example.
Yeah.
But you would think deGrasse Tyson, who actually did the remake of Cosmos, might have caught on to that and thought, well, maybe people are a little bit more enlightened now and lightened up a bit about it.
Yeah, and, you know, Sagan, one of my absolute favorite books, and one that I strongly recommend ufologists take a look at, was the book that Sagan wrote with Igor Shklovsky, Intelligent Life in the Universe, which was actually a textbook in one of my astronomy classes in university, in which they really went in great detail about the possibility of life evolving in other worlds and could they travel between stars. And I think they had a little chapter or section in there about UFOs that was relatively positive. So, yeah, it's interesting how the scientific viewpoint evolves one way or another. And I'm very fascinated to see, too, even though paranormal phenomena and UFOs are frowned upon, and I think even some have been tossed out of the TED Talks, I just saw Ben Mezrich's TED Talk about UFOs. And I was floored by that because, somebody actually asked me to try and do to get accepted to do a TED Talk, and I was told flat out, you can't do a TED Talk about UFOs or paranormal phenomena, because was it Puthoff himself who did the TED Talk that was yanked from the TED site? I can't remember now. But to hear Ben Mezrich do a TED Talk about UFOs, like where did that come from? Very interesting.
Yes, definitely. I mean, that's a huge shift for them to be able to open up to that.
Absolutely, yeah, and could open up a little bit more. I mean, Ben did a good presentation. I don't agree with a lot of the stuff that was in his book, but, he presented it really well, and it was well accepted by the audience. So, yeah, well, more power to him.
Yeah, well, I mean, you need somebody to square off against Shermer. I mean, I'm pretty sure Shermer's done TED Talks where he talks about belief in UFOs and essentially relegates it all into the realm of nonsense.
Absolutely. Not to say that there isn't nonsense out there, but, let's focus on some of the more interesting stuff, and I think that's probably the idea behind you know, saying, you know, TED Talk people saying we don't want that sort of thing. They're worried that, you know, somebody will come by and just spout a bunch of nonsense. But, you know, I've seen some really bad TED Talks, too. So.
Yeah, the next thing you know, they'll have people up there talking about how our political systems are all infiltrated with lizard aliens or something like that.
Yeah.
Look at the old David Icke thing.
We saw evidence of that in Supergirl last week, where we learned that the President of the United States, who once was considered to be Wonder Woman, was actually an alien, a shape-shifting alien.
Well, and I can go one up on you on that one. Somebody, obviously not a fan, has created a YouTube video of me on one of my TV appearances with close-up and zooming in on my face, showing proof that I am a lizard alien myself. It's on
YouTube.
Are
you about to wait a minute, folks? Is this going to be the first?
This is it. I mean, you can't argue with that. Somebody's done this on YouTube and proves it beyond a shadow of a doubt, so it must be true.
So that therefore, YouTube, wait a minute. I mean, we have a YouTube channel. That's pretty much authentic. So yeah. I would assume. But it's just episodes of the PowerCast. Okay, so let's think about this here. We're going to have a revelation about the true identity of you, Chris.
Yeah, it must be true. I mean, I admit that I worked for the government, for Department of Defense. So there's a check mark there. There's somebody who produced a YouTube video that shows that I'm a reptilian. I think all the points, all the signs are there that maybe I really am Ming the Merciless.
And you're saying all of this in jest, of course, for anyone
else.
Wait a minute.
This is not. Wait a minute, Randall. Please settle down. This is not in jest. He's telling you something serious because it's on YouTube, Facebook, and/or Twitter, and possibly even Instagram. Anything they say is true. I mean, we have one of our regular posters on the PowerCast. They created a whole new fake identity for him on Facebook, somebody impersonating him, and Facebook doesn't care. They want to sell ads, so we have a couple of extra fake people. Big deal. Chris, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap. But not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery, and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
When you use public Wi-Fi, hackers and identity thieves can see anything you do online. Embarrassing photos, your web history, even your passwords. That's why I use private internet access to encrypt my internet connection for less than 10 cents a day. Sign up now at privateinternetaccess.com, and in just a few minutes, you'll be browsing anonymously and only sharing what you want to share. privateinternetaccess.com. It's time to protect your online privacy.
Bacon lovers, we ship free.
Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course, Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99 and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
So we're talking about fake people here. Now we're talking about real stuff.
Well, and I wrote something, and it's in the Reframing the Debate book, as a matter of fact, where I show that we're in the age of metamodernism. You've heard that, modernism, there's postmodernism, and there's metamodernism. And if you look up the definition, what it is, it basically says anything goes. There's no such thing as an ultimate expert. I'm as relevant as the other person, and my statement is as valid as anybody else. When you look about what's happening in culture and in society and in the news today, it does seem to be where we are, where truth is very malleable, where fake news is as real as anything else. And in terms of ufology, I think we're in the metamodernistic age of ufology, too, where, you know, if somebody says that they were contacted by space aliens who downloaded information and insight on how to create a self-perpetual or a perpetual motion machine or something like that, they're believed, and they speak at conferences all the time and appear on TV and videos and so forth. And, you know, and then you have people who are out there in the field investigating cases, reported by witnesses of, you know, saucer type craft with landing gear and, material left behind and so forth. Which is the fake news? Is any story more relevant or more real than the other story? And in this age of metamodernism in our society, and since ufology is within our society, you know, we're firmly entrenched in all of that as well.
Well, I think the ufology, the field or the community, is probably just as guilty of that as the media, because as soon as everyone tries to get together into a unified force in order to solve the problem, that means abandoning their own little turf, you know, piece of turf that they've got, and their view might contradict with someone else's view. And so long as it's separate, they can do like you were saying. They can say, well, you know, my opinion is just as valid as your opinion because we don't have any proof that it's any other way.
Well, and yeah, and in ufology, you can't go to a university, you know, and I hear you that somebody did a PhD thesis on ufology and they graduated, but you can't really go and get a degree in ufology. you know, you can't do that. You can get degrees in astronomy and engineering and space science and so forth. So there's no real expert in ufology. I mean, somebody would, this point was raised with somebody who said, you know, after the death of Alan Hynek, who speaks for ufology? Is it Vallée? Is it Gene? Is it Stan Friedman? You know, who speaks for ufology today? Who's the authority? And, you know, when Alan was alive, you know, he was the go-to guy. But now, who is it? Who is the ultimate authority in ufology? Who is the expert? Can you get experts anymore in ufology? Because the field is so diverse. There's so much happening. It's very interesting because I really don't know. Who do you believe?
You know, you bring up something here that goes back 30 years. He died in the 1980s.
Yep.
And the only thing we're going to see about Dr. J. Allen Hynek is that he is going to be an action hero in that TV series produced by Robert Zemeckis. They have some Irish actor pretending to be J. Allen Hynek as the action hero. I wonder if he's also going to do martial arts. He's going to fight with the aliens.
That's right.
Yeah, but he doesn't have his pipe, so it won't look as cool.
They better give him a pipe in one of the episodes, or maybe that's the season two where he gets the pipe. I don't know.
So where are we going with all of this then, Chris? I mean, obviously you're doing a really good job, at least in my humble opinion, and I think Gene would agree. We've got some good people in the field. QFOS doesn't talk a lot, but we've still got Michael Swords there working for them, who we wanted to get him on the show, and he simply will not come out on any show and talk about UFOs. He's sworn them off ages ago, according to Roediger.
Well, I sympathize with them. But yeah, I mean, where are we going? How do we move on from here? As you know, I'm involved in UFO updates now with the passing of Earl Bruce Knapp a number of years ago. I was asked to take over the mantle of running the Facebook group, not the same as the mailing list, which really got into some fascinating discussions. And I know Earl really tried to have the flavor of that in Facebook. And I just received a comment today that, you know, even the Facebook group just doesn't cut it. The discussion isn't there anymore. As a matter of fact, just today I, you know, made a point of opening discussion on the UFO Updates Facebook group and saying, what do you want to talk about? I did a little poll, offered some questions, some starting points. I'd like to see discussion really be enhanced a little bit more among ufologists from diverse opinions and try and get the details out there to the people who are newbies, who are starting out and they don't know where to turn. Let's, you know, guide them in some pretty decent directions. Let's get people involved in investigation and research and historical data and gathering of UFO reports. There's a lot of information out there. We just have to get people involved.
Yeah, when we had Kingsbury on, we were talking about, well, which direction would it take if we were to take it into academia? And, of course, there's a lot of pushback from the science faculty. And I don't think ufology is suitable for the sciences personally. And he tended to agree. We both came to the conclusion that the humanities is a far more apt faculty for it to exist in because of all the cultural aspect of it. Most of ufology is about the culture and the people that are involved and the stories that are told. The smallest part about it is actually about the actual physical evidence because there is so very little of it.
Right. As I mentioned, you know, the UFO investigators don't investigate UFOs because the UFO is long gone. You're actually investigating the witness's interpretation of what was seen, unless in a very rare case there's something left behind, which is few and far between. Yeah, absolutely. You're studying the witness, the testimony, the stories. And that's why at one point I became a member of the Folklore Studies Association, because the mythology of ufology is quite profound. It's the stories that we're focusing on. And, you know, there's some truth in there somewhere, but, you know, by golly, it's part of a cultural phenomenon, if anything.
And that might be a road to get it in to academic acceptance, where we could then catalog all of the fringe stuff accordingly. Then if we did get some sort of material evidence that could be analyzed scientifically by a materials scientist, for example, then we could send it over to the science faculty and let them deal with it at arm's length on their own terms.
Yeah, great idea. I would endorse that completely. There, we've solved the problem there, Gene. How's that?
You know, it's very good. I always enjoy the fact that we can just sit here together on the PowerCast and resolve the world's entire problems right here in a couple of 3 hours. We can do it.
You know, people would only listen.
Yeah.
In any case, Chris Witkowski, tell our listeners if they want to know more about the things you do, including the incredible revelation that you are a reptilian in disguise. Where do they go?
Well, you can go to my blog, which is uforum.blogspot.com, uforum.blogspot.com. If you want to know about the UFO reports in Canada, it's survey.canadianuforeport.com. There's statistics on there, and we've just recently put the entire database available for people to look at. Find your favorite UFO sites and take a look.
USI. What is that all about, Randall?
That's Ufology Society International at ufopages.com.
You see, this guy always does a quick pitch. I love it because we can do a long pitch. You'll find us on Twitter. Look for the PowerCast. Look for two PowerCast fan clubs on Facebook. Look for the After the PowerCast podcast. And Chris Witkowski will return this week on After the PowerCast. Available exclusively to members of the PowerCast Plus. You also get a version of this show with better quality audio, direct from the master recording. How about that? Free of the network ads that the people on YouTube keep complaining about. That's how you get it. It's a modest subscription fee, $1.49 a week. Cheap, $4.99 a month. We also have 5-year and lifetime subscriptions, and that gives you free stuff. Free stuff! Plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. We enjoy Chris Witkowski always when he joins us. Thanks for joining us on the PowerCast.
Thank you.
The PowerCast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-318-4349 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-318-4349. Again, that's 800-318-4349.